mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 82. Back to the smooth stone wall in a shadowy corner of Dragon's Wing's new town hall, Agent Chirong watched flying notes, maps, and almost fists as everyone with a scrap of authority in the settlement tried to figure out what was going on at once. Sometimes I love my job. A little out of the shadows, Guard Huojin gave him a look. It wasn't nearly as venomous as the looks Dai Li got used to. There was actually a little concern in it. So Chirong waved an expansive hand, willing to explain. All the yelling is right here. No malcontents brooding in shadowed corners. No simmering tensions because everyone pretends the war doesn't exist. All the malice that would normally draw spirits is getting aired out and beaten with sticks. Whatever's left will be small, weak, and easily managed when it does rear a spirit's head. He smiled wryly. Thankfully, Asagi Tatsu's still touchy despite all our work. A bit closer to a snarly Dillo lion than a train load of blasting jelly now, but still nothing to trifle with. Huojin blinked at him.
Fire Lord Ozai is bringing a fleet of airships right to our doorstep, even if he does plan on taking them to the North Pole after. And you're worried about spirits?
Be on the lookout for airship invasion of Northern Water Tribe. Part of Zuko's terse hawk message had read, sent ahead, before Byakko's ship could bring him into the harbor. Sources: Fire Lord intends comet assault. Prep for air fleet diversion and or target practice. Consult Teo, companions, for air current info.
Which was a short and almost diplomatic way of saying everyone had to get ready for potential flaming death from above. And, by the way, they had to talk mostly pacifist gliders into coughing up information to save people they didn't even know. When Zuko gets more than a breath to think, Chirong thought, Teruko and I need to remind him that there are differences between difficult and impossible. Granted, dealing with Teo was far from impossible. The young man was here, after all, his own notes tucked in his lap. The gliders did, if grudgingly, admit it was better to have allies than to try and eke out a living on the roof of the world alone. But even if some of them were born airbenders, the Mechanist's people were still very much a small earth village. Their nearest neighbors came first. Outsiders had to prove themselves again and again. Still, Teo had come, if mostly to get any scrap of news of his father. And he'd gotten news all right.
He's fine, Zuko had reported as soon as Teo's wheels squeaked up the hall ramp. He's with Chief Hakoda. Looks okay, misses you. I would have put it in the message, but sometimes even hawks get caught. So now the glider was slumped in his chair, ignoring the yelling around him to just breathe and smile with the kind of wholehearted relief Chirong had felt, realizing that, yes, their icebound train was going to float. And if that's not a cue from the spirits, I don't know what is.
Yes, I am. Chirong answered Huojin thoughtfully. We have firebenders, earthbenders, and waterbenders. We've been warned. We're already shaping shelters for our people, even if Ozai scorches everything above them to ashes. But if Asagi Tatsu goes up... He shrugged.
Okay. Point.
Huojin sighed. Besides, if the Fire Lord does show up... Chirong allowed himself a nasty smile... Spirits may not be able to tell most humans apart very well, but the people who follow an exile versus those still bound under Avatar Kyoshi's decree, I think Asagi Tatsu will know very well who belongs here and who doesn't. He rubbed a bit of obsidian between his fingers, contemplating the irony of delicate glass formed by all the fury of earth and fire. Though I admit, the balance between the spirits here isn't a sure thing. Ozai is acting under Kyoshi's decree. That gives his actions a sort of weight, like a boulder ready to roll downhill.
Damn it. Never wanted to know anything about spirits.
Huojin sighed, hand almost drifting to his sword. All right, tell me. You sound like it's just one side of a bar brawl. In a sense, Shirong nodded. Ozai may be acting in line with Kyoshi's decree, but our young prince helped the living Avatar. If there's confusion among the spirits on whose side they should favor, well, at least it should be equal confusion.
Sage acquired, Zuko's message had gone on. Tossed at student. Student and companions reunited with allies, leaving them to their own devices. Thank Agni.
Shirong hoped tossed at had been a figure of speech. With what he now knew about dragon children, he wasn't all that sure. Though, leaving them to their own devices was even more ominous than manhandling a fire sage. That phrase had the same sort of teeth-gritted, about-to-set-off sparks feel to it as Zuko's current glare at his uncle across the map table. Shirong wouldn't be in the middle of that battle of wills for all the jade in Ba Sing Se. Though, unlike some of the more nervous onlookers, he at least knew why those two hotheads were glaring at each other. It didn't have anything to do with the Grang Waterbender now comparing fire-influenced southern tribe techniques with Amaya's earth-touched northern moves at one side of the hall. Well, not much. Need to know info on Boiling Rock was critically lacking, the message had read. Research Kanaloa. Shirong. Earthbending effective, but not sufficient to deter spirit. Longshui. Any other info on spirit? Ask Prof. Wen. Jen Iroh. Not amused. Having now wrung a few details on the Kanaloa out of Amok, and a few more out of Iroh, mostly furious denials that he'd known about any spirits at Boiling Rock, Shirong understood that completely. The Haima Jiao had been terrifying enough with only Amaya under its thrall. A fire water spirit able to suck in an unprepared avatar? His mind shied away from the thought.
It'd be bad. How bad? I'm glad I don't know.
And the worst part was, their young prince probably felt guilty the mess had happened in the first place. He'd advised Sokka to look at Boiling Rock. Never mind that he hadn't known about the danger. No, not the worst, Shirong decided. The fire sages had underestimated Zuko as much as anyone else had, yes. But what truly unsettled Adai Li was that apparently Iroh hadn't known about the Kanaloa either, which implied, well, it implied a few unpleasant things, but the most important one to anyone who cared about the young man who had faced the spirit. If Zuko ended up sent to Boiling Rock, Shirong thought, the fire sages didn't believe Iroh would rescue him. And that was one of the more charitable interpretations of the sages' actions. Shirong grimaced, thinking of a few others.
Oh, that's not a good look, Huojin groaned. Hit me and get it over with.
We should never have let a fire sage be alone with the prince, Shirong said simply. The guard gave him a look in askance.
Most of them are loyal to Ozai? No kidding?
Most of them are loyal to the true Fire Lord, Shirong corrected him. That may not be the same thing.
I'm not gonna like this, am I?
Huh. Shirong relaxed a bit. At least Huojin was honest about it. It occurred to me that if I were a fire sage, loyal to the Fire Lord, unable to raise a hand against the royal family, and yet utterly convinced that Ozai's children should never inherit, especially Azula. Nope, Not going to like it at all, Huojin muttered. Then I might consider the fact that young men do noble and idealistic and stupid things, Shirong went on, and that if Azula cared about nothing else in the world, she did seem focused on obliterating all of her brother's hopes. He tapped a finger against Obsidian. So, give him just enough information on the Avatar that eventually he'll figure out there has to be more, and come back, meaning he breaks the terms of his exile, leading to either execution or confinement in the deepest pit of a dungeon the Fire Nation has. Boiling rock. Huojin looked like the words had squirmed in his throat. Exactly. Shirong's eyes narrowed. They didn't think Zuko could ever be a master firebender, so either the Kanaloa would take him or it wouldn't. What's important was that Azula is a master, and she'd come to gloat. And if anyone would know how to make sure a spirit that hates iron could go past those protections, a fire sage would, Huojin agreed warily. But why would anyone want to have Ozai's daughter possessed? He cut himself off, paling. The Dai Li have the authority to kill even the highest nobles in Ba Sing Se, if there's no other way to save the city. Shirong nodded. I'd imagine the Fire Sages have similar latitude. After all, if she were possessed by a rampaging spirit, they'd just be protecting the Fire Lord. Huojin eyed him and shivered. I am so glad I'm not you. Sometimes I wish I weren't either, Shirong sighed. One of us should have gone with him, though given what happened, I wouldn't have been much help. Water, not my field of expertise. A whole damn ocean with a broken head isn't anybody's expertise, Huojin growled. I'm going to get a straight answer out of him on what happened, and then I'm sicking my girls on him. Ouch, Shirong murmured, though he understood the impulse. Uncovered new, need-to-know info on ocean and coastal hazards, that bit of the message had read. Tropical sea serpent. Long shui, skeleton accurate size. Apparently not immune to cloud-to-ground lightning. Ribs healing. Lightning! Oh, yes. He definitely understood the urge to throttle some straight answers out of the prince. But he wouldn't. Knowing Zuko, if he admitted to the ribs, he'd probably dealt with a host of lesser injuries, along with all the effects of a night adrift. Shirong might avoid the sea where possible, but he talked with enough of Ji and Donghai's sailors to have an idea of how nasty it had been. Lucky he wasn't further north, had been the consensus. Cold water kills faster. Though luck hadn't had anything to do with it, which was why their main two firebenders were glaring at each other, hard enough to make the room hazy. Iroh was the first to move, one hand flicking the matter away. You cannot shun the Avatar. Zuko was unfazed, gold eyes not even narrowed. I already have. Avatar Aang is shunned. That heart-sinking part of the message had read. Gen Iroh, review available info shunning. Cross-reference attempted manslaughter domain lords. Captain G, etc. Treat as possible enemy. Do not allow on Asagi Tatsu. Oh yes, that had definitely put the cat owl amongst the sparrowkeets. He is the spirit of the world, Iroh stated. We face formidable enemies in both this world and that of the spirits. The Face Stealer, the Drowned, my brother, Asagi Tatsu herself, if she is not satisfied. We cannot turn against one who would be our ally. What part of tried to kill me did you not hear? Zuko bit out. And before you say it was an accident, yes, exactly. He tried to kill me by
accident. Is that the person you want stepping into the middle of a volcano about to erupt? When Asagi Tatsu already doesn't like him. When we know the face dealer pulled everybody's strings to make sure Asagi Tatsu killed Avatar Yangchen. He brought a fist down on the table. The thump made half the people listening twitch. This is our last chance. Agni loves us, but there's been too much bloodshed. Too many lives and spirits twisted up so that nobody knows what's right anymore. If Aang blunders in here the way he blunders in everywhere else, we will all be dead. And he will be dead with us, and the face stealer wins. Zuko drew a deliberate breath, letting a wisp of steam escape. Well, not on my watch. I've lost too much to the Avatar and the Fire Lords and the spirits and the whole damn mess. We are going to fix this. He straightened in his chair. We stopped General Fong. We can stop the Fire Lord. Which made Shirong feel oddly warm, even as his stomach tried to take a dive through the floor. Facing the Fire Lord? But we did defeat Fong, the Dai Li reminded himself. If Zuko believes we can do this, maybe we should believe too. He's bringing airships and supply ships with troops, not marching an army over land, Zuko went on. Airships will be tricky, granted, but airships are a direct threat to the Air Temple. They're not shy about mixing it up with the Fire Nation when they want to live. Bring the airships down and we've got half the battle fought. As for the supply ships, Asagi Tatsu's own fires give us a way to take them down. And if they put those out, Zuko's eyes glittered, the drowned want lives? That would be the last mistake those ships ever make. Iroh was shaking his head, a doubtful scowl on his face. If the Fire Lord comes on the day of the comet, Uncle, he can't. Zuko said soberly. Not if he wants to use it against the Northern Water Tribe. At the airship's best speed, even if they're twice as fast as we've seen, it'd take 3 days to get from here to the North Pole. If he uses the comet against us, he won't have it against him. And he's my father, and he's crazy, not an idiot. He knows heat rises, and he may not know how many firebenders we have here, but he knows you're here. And again, he is not an idiot. Zuko took a deep breath. If he attacks here, and with our luck he probably will, we'll be facing firebenders, not the comet. The prince's sober look lightened into a smirk that made Shirong reflexively glance around for death-defying drops or highly flammable enemies. I got details from Sokka while we were heading to the Western Temple. Those airships carry explosives. Lots of explosives. An almost gleeful shrug. Fuse fire ice, a few catapults. Iroh stared, rubbed at what was probably a headache. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, Shirong mused. The Fire General's mood had ranged from grimly cheerful to downright amused, while the rest of Dragon's Wings had been dreading the approach of an Earth army. General Iroh had had no trouble facing Earth General Fong. Facing down Fire Lord Ozai? Huh, no, he wasn't so happy about that. Granted, the man was family. But Zuko and Azula were brother and sister, and he hadn't seen Iroh have any qualms about asking Zuko to face Azula. At least, not when it was to protect the Avatar. Sauce for the chinchilla goose is sauce for the gander, as they say, Shirong thought dryly. Shoe pinches when it's on your foot, doesn't it? You have given this some thought, Iroh said at last. The Fire Lord does not tolerate challenges to his authority. Pale gold glittered. G winced. Shirong made a note to corner the captain later and determine exactly what he knew about the circumstances of Zuko's exile. Likely quite a lot,
the way Iroh had glanced aside, which was not something Zuko had expected from the way his good eye narrowed. Surprise stoked a white heat of fury in the young prince, so hot that Dai Li almost felt his skin searing. Then it eased as Zuko let steam hiss from his breath. Yes, I've thought about it. I know a lot of us have, though we all hoped the war wouldn't land on our doorstep this soon. But it has. So, what do we have ready? What do we have that could be ready if we've got a few weeks? What do we need to shut down until the comet's gone? And we know one way or another who's left standing. He looked to the crowd of his people, and the answers started coming. Xurong listened with half an ear, mentally juggling numbers and speakers to see if they agreed with the reports he'd already read. The shelters were all but complete, earth bent into the caldera wall itself. If it had preserved the White Lotus cache through the last blast, it was their best chance. More supplies and half of the first new crops had been stored up in the Northern Temple. In the event of a blast, Chang Chang and the rest of the elders had already agreed to take in any of Dragon's Wings who made it there. The temple dwellers should make it. Tao and his friends had apparently taken some of the same sealing and filtering devices G had used to close off natural gas leaks and come up with screens that ought to let air in but keep lung-destroying ash at bay. That was for above. As for below, the drowned had been seen in the deep waters, but they hadn't surfaced again. Fire watches had been kept every night, with memorials every dusk, and each one seemed to draw in another restless ghost to find peace. It'd take years at the current rate, but Amaya and everyone else who dealt with spirits believed the harbor would eventually be safe again. Of course, if Asagitatsu decided to take an active hand... How are we doing relieving magma pressure? Zuko gave Xurong a direct look. Slow, but apparently steady, the Dai Li reported. Our dragon lady seems to have taken Lady Bei Fong's earthbending in good humor. Professor Wen and his associates have managed to nudge trickles of steam to the surface in several locations, and according to our local airbenders, he glanced at Long Shui, who grinned just a little sharply, and poked Tao in the shoulder. The glider started, looking up from his maps, reddened a little at all the eyes on him, but drew himself up in his chair with confidence. The pressure's a lot better, compared to how it was when Fong hit the pass, at least. More like an eggshell than a soap bubble. If we have a few more months, we can do this. We might not have a few more months, Zuko grumbled, looked up at stricken faces, and sighed. We've got to keep trying. Every day we take the pressure off her, everybody gets safer. Right now, if Asagitatsu goes up, she'll make a smaller hole. The prince grimaced. I know that doesn't sound like much, but that could mean our shelters make it, that the gliders make it, that Ba Sing Se won't starve just from ashfall. And we've all got people we care about down there. Earth King Kuei took in some of my people, and damn it, I want to see him kick Wan Shi Tong's ass. That got grins, especially from the sailors. Xurong made a mental note to check just what they'd been up to those last few hectic hours in Ba Sing Se. Tao, if your wind maps are right, the ash will still head for the North Pole, even if most of it blows south afterward. We need to talk to the Northern Water Tribe and send them a message to warn them what's coming. Zuko glanced down at the map. That's not going to be easy. Because even in the middle of summer, the seas up there were icy, Xurong knew. Sane hawks didn't go that way, and neither did sane sailors. Which meant they might be able to talk Donghuai into it. Not so difficult as you may believe. Iroh stroked his beard. I've invited a few friends already. What? Xurong watched them both intently, almost ignoring the guard beside him. A pity Kuei didn't grow up with siblings. If he'd grown up with Azula, or Guanyin Grant, someone not quite that bad, well, He would have known when Longfeng started managing him. As Zuko obviously did know, Shiron could see it in the pallor of tightened lips. "I do not know precisely when they will arrive," Iroh went on, apparently oblivious to the nerve he'd struck. "But it should be soon. Perhaps later today." Zuko was silent, perhaps a second too long. "Did you consult with Master Amaya on the details of their visit?" he said at last. "The water tribes know about the drowned, and I suspect they will take precautions, but it's hard for anyone to grasp how many are out there."
"Oof. Loaded question. Oh, yes."
Huojin leaned in.
"What the hell's going on?"
A bare whisper, not a hint of hiss that would make it carry.
"Zuko's the domain lord here. Just ask the volcano dragon."
"Better yet, ask Feng's ashes," Shirong murmured back. "I know that, and you know that. Apparently, the general hasn't quite grasped the concept." In a way, that made things worse. Longfeng had known he had no right to claim the city. General Iroh, former Crown Prince Iroh, seemed to see command as automatically flowing to him. Why should it rest anywhere else? "He's never had to deal with a recruit who's grown up enough to be his equal," Shiron concluded. "Not that I've had many. I hope Quan and the rest are holding together. We left them in a tricky situation. Though, not quite as tricky as ours, I hope." He needed to spend some time with his family, remind himself what this was all for, when everything seemed bleakest. "And it wouldn't be a bad idea to talk to Tingcha about youngsters and growing up and how to handle it," Shiron considered. "He and Min were fighting about the Dai Li before we left Ba Sing Se. Not so much now that we're in pursuit of spirits and enemies and not honest men, but he knows what it's like. Maybe he has a few ideas." Any ideas would be welcome right now. Li and Mushi had been an apprentice healer and his tea master uncle. A fight between them would only rattle the other denizens of their apartment building. A fight between General Iroh and Prince Zuko? There was no way this could end well. "And the worst of it is, neither of them wants to fight." Shirong hid a grimace. "I have to talk to Tingcha." For more reasons than one. Meishang's ancestor, Gyokuro, had been a fire sage, and Shirong had seen well enough that she knew a few of their teachings. If anyone here could help him unravel what the fire sages might have intended for Ozai, Iroh, and Zuko, it would be his adopted sister. "Let me know immediately when any Water Tribe vessels are sighted," Zuko instructed Captain G and the rest of the sailing contingent. "We don't want any misunderstandings on any side." He glanced at Shirong. "Let's see if Asagi Tatsu might give us some hints about settling her down sooner." Asagi Tatsu sighed in her sleep, content. Death and destruction, life and warmth, both were in her nature. How fortunate she was to have a dragon clan that nurtured both. Fire and water, water and fire. One worked with the steady, grim haste of an antlion, digging into earth and stone to turn deadly steam into harmless rising wind. The other whispered among the waves, gathering the wronged dead to her call. Both were just. Both had been wronged. Both sought recompense for evil done centuries ago, and fresh blood shed within the last season's turn. Their purposes shone in the spirit world like paired blades, one dazzling as sun on sea, the other dark and silent as a moonless night. It made her weep, the beauty of those blades, and to sense them ready themselves, preparing to strike, duel, kill. Fire lives to serve.
Who would have my gifts must sacrifice? Which would live and which would die? That was the interesting question. He shunned me. It was like sticking his tongue under a loose tooth, Aang thought, sitting between Appa's horns so all he had to hear was the rush of the wind. He just couldn't leave it alone. Zuko shunned me. Part of him wanted to curl up in Appa's fur and just bawl. Not because the world had ended, because it hadn't. He was shunned, which meant the whole world ought to turn their faces away from him, except the rest of the world wasn't the temples. The rest of the world didn't know, and most of those who did know didn't care, which meant Timul hadn't been lying. She was a ghost, and she was awful, and she'd done something horrible to Sokka just because he was Aang's friend. But she wanted revenge on the Avatar, and she didn't care who she hurt to get it, but she wasn't a liar. We shunned evil people at the temples, and they went away, Aang thought, huddled in on himself in misery. Where did we think they went away to? Funny how the elders had never mentioned that. They didn't mention a lot of things. Hey, Sokka's voice, as the water tribesman made his careful way up Appa's neck, soared over his shoulder. You okay? No. Aang looked down at the reins in his hands. Everything's so messed up. From what I've heard, it took at least 1,000 years to get this messed up. Sokka gave him a serious look, wind ruffling his wolf tail. There's plenty of blame to go around. Don't cowhog all of it. Aang shifted his shoulders, feeling guilty. I thought you were planning stuff with Fire Sage Shiyu. Yeah, about that. Turns out Fire Sages know a lot more about spirits than armies, and Shiyu doesn't know anything about airships. Except they're supposedly against the laws of nature and should never work. And he still can't believe any firebender would break the root of his form and get on one. Sokka coughed, but his blue eyes were full of mischief. Right now, Katara's got an ice pack on his head to keep his lunch down. He gets air sick? Aang blurted out. Oh, that's awful. Master Gyatso used to have ginger candy for people. I wish I had some. Because Sokka was giving him a measuring look, a little happy and a little relieved. It's okay. Katara's got this. Sokka waved a hand. She doesn't have anything as nice as ginger candy, but he'll pull through. Propped up on his elbows, he gave Aang a serious stare. You know you don't have to do all this on your own, right? And you don't have to do it all at once. All we have to do is delay Ozai's fleet so he can't use the comet on anybody. I know. People were fighting before I got back. They're not going to stop just because the comet's gone. But the Avatar's supposed to fix things. Aang scowled, frustrated. Like Avatar Kyoshi making it so Qin could never attack her village again. His shoulders drooped. I guess that didn't work out so well. Changing the land like that, yanking the sea right into lava, that probably made a lot of spirits unhappy. When it happened that fast? Yeah, probably, Sokka agreed. But lava and water run into each other in the Fire Nation all the time. It doesn't have to make spirits upset. At least not bad enough to go after humans, he amended. Gran-Gran says spirits get upset every time summer freezes into winter, too. And every time the winter ice cracks and the snow spirits have to sleep while the sun's strong. They don't like it, but they live with it. Humans have to be careful at the change of the seasons. The spirits get touchy, but it passes. The spirits know their season will come back. They just need time to think it over. Time. Aang rubbed his fingers through Appa's fur, treasuring the rumble he got in return. That's the real problem. There's just not enough time. If you say the Avatar spirit might let you play with time,
I'm going to have to sit on you. Sokka was wide-eyed as a badger frog, one eyebrow twitching. Because if you went back from the future to fix the past, wouldn't that make the past be part of the future and head hurting now? Time's not an element. Aang shook himself at the thought, weirded out. Sokka was right. That was enough to make anybody's head hurt. It's just, that's what got Kyoshi, isn't it? She ran out of time. Earth's supposed to sit and wait, but she waited too long. With Chin and the fire pirates. He chewed that over a little more. Master Gyatso said the smallest breeze can divert the mightiest storm. You just have to put that breeze in the right place. Sokka whistled. And the right time. Yeah, like... Aang winced, remembering screams and fire. Sokka sucked in a breath. Do I want to know? Zuko and General Fong. Aang swallowed. It was awful, but if he'd waited, it would have been so much worse. Because Fong would have been in the village, yeah. Sokka shuddered. I hate to say it, but if you know somebody's not going to stop... No, don't wait. He paused and grimaced. Maybe try to hit them with something that won't kill them, if you think you can talk to them later. But don't wait. He sat up a little. You've got a plan? I thought I was supposed to come up with the plans. Not a plan, just an idea, Aang admitted. The Fire Lord's not going to listen, right? Not as long as he thinks he can use the comet to beat the water tribes. But what about after that, when he can't and the comet's gone for another 100 years? He took a deep breath. Roku said I had to defeat the Fire Lord by the end of summer. Zuko says Fire Lord Ozai won't stop unless somebody kills him. But Roku didn't say I had to kill him. Another breath. He felt a little lightheaded. Isn't losing one battle a defeat? Technically, Sokka said at last. Very tricky use of words, he scowled, which kind of makes it sound even more like something a spirit would really mean. Huh. So, if I want to do something that's not big and doesn't have to kill a lot of people and do it in time, Aang gulped. Airships need wind. What if I made a storm? A little one, out at sea, so innocent people don't get hurt. Oof. Sokka's fingers clenched in thick fur. Aang winced. Bad idea? Maybe not, Sokka said thoughtfully. It could work, if we can find them. We can find them, Aang said, confident now. The wind will show us the way. If Avatar Spirity Weirdness kicks in and helps out, I'm all for it, Sokka shrugged, peering out towards the horizon. But if Ozai's already passed our best guesses for his supply bases, I don't know where we should look. Who needs to be an Avatar? Aang gave him his best air cake tossing grin. I'm an airbender, and it's summer. If Ozai wants to make it all the way up to the North Pole in time, he's got to take the high wind road. The what? The fast way north, Aang explained. It's summer, remember? The high wind road's going to go right from the northern fire islands up toward the northern water tribe, and from there it dips back over the mountains and pushes things back towards Ba Sing Se. He waited for an answer, shrugged when Sokka only blinked at him. That's why I think Azula isn't lying. If the Fire Lord times it right, he can sweep right over the Water Tribe and still get back to start a whole bunch of fires in the Earth Kingdom before the comet's gone. It makes sense. The fast way, Sokka said numbly. We spent days getting north the last time. You never said there was a faster way. Because it's not there in the winter, Aang said, puzzled. You use sails. You know the winds change in different seasons. He frowned into the breeze, thinking about that. Only that's down near the surface, and the high wind road's really high. Aang, let me get a map. That's okay, Aang waved him off. I've got one. Yeah, you've got one with the crazy arrows on it. Sokka smacked himself in the forehead. Why didn't you say those were winds? What else would they be? Aang unrolled the old scroll that had lasted through the ice with him. See how this one curves up past the Western Air Islands? That wind pretty much follows the current up north of the Fire Nation. If they take that, it pushes you up here. He tapped the thick, dotted arrows in summer red. See? You get up to here. You have to get really high, but I bet they can. And the wind pushes you fast. Maybe 5 times as fast as Appa could fly on his own, even going all out. Sokka caught the edge of the map before it could slap him in the face. But if this is right, then the wind goes right over. Yup, Aang said cheerfully. That's why we went there first on the way north. Even in winter, it's the shortest way. In summer, it's really fast. Oh, that was bad. Sokka swallowed. Ozai's gonna head straight for Asagi Tatsu. For a long moment, all Aang wanted to do was hide again. Couldn't the spirits give him just a little break? Ever? Except he already knew this was coming. Maybe that was all the break they could manage. Aang rolled up his map, determined. Then we're going to find him first.